This is Digital Story Podcast number 993, April 1st, 2025. Today's theme is a new photo workshop plus an update on the M4 MacBook Air. I'm Derek Story. We have a new online workshop coming in May. Updates for upcoming events. iOS 18.4 hits the streets. And more thoughts on the Fujifilm GFX 100RF. Plus my hands-on impressions of the new M4 MacBook Air. Spoiler alert, yes, it's plenty powerful for photographers. All of this and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So we got lots of stuff to do this week. Oh my gosh, so much has happened in the last few days. So today, the day I'm recording this, we had iOS 18.4 drop and iPad OS 18.4 drop. And I did some testing with that because there are some new features for photos. And I thought, well, okay, let's take a look at that. The MacBook Air that I've been working on now since I told you about it. When I told you about it, I told you I was going to do it, right? And then I did do it, and now I have been using it, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, what a brand new online workshop. Yes, indeed, we have that too. And I think we will start with the workshop's updates, and then we will meander into all sorts of other little goodies. I even have some tips, some bits and bobs. Oh my gosh, we're going to go 4 hours today. No, I'll just be efficient. We won't go 4 hours, I promise you. All right, here we go. The first workshop news, guess what? For Sony photographers out there, you have been underserved, and I am sorry about that, but I just don't shoot Sony. I shoot OM system, I shoot Fujifilm, I shoot Pentax, I shoot Nikon, but I don't shoot Sony. But guess what? Guess who does? Rob Knight. Yes, sirree, Rob Knight does. And starting on May 8th of this year, he is doing an online workshop, 4 sessions, called the Sony Creative Masterclass. And believe me, this guy knows Sony cameras inside and out. I watched him in Costa Rica, and it was funny because Rob brought in folks for Costa Rica, and I brought in folks for Costa Rica. So sort of an, you know, the folks that I brought in, there was a lot of OM system and some Fujifilm. And on Rob's side, there were Sonys. There were Sony cameras. And he was Johnny on the spot in terms of helping those folks get the most out of their cameras. And the thing that he talked about in Costa Rica was that Sony cameras have so much they can do that is hard for photographers to sort of wrap their head around all the features. And that is what this masterclass is going to be about. This is what he said about it. This all new class is designed to help you make the most of your Sony camera. We will dive into the features, custom functions, menus, and more. Each online class will include presentations and tutorials based on years of professional photography experience using various Sony cameras and lenses, plus plenty of time for your questions about the system. I think this sounds like a great workshop for those of you, like I said, who have been underserved in this community. Now we have a workshop for you. It begins on May 8th, and Rob is going to do 1 session a day. He'll do them at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, and we start on May 8th, and you can sign up for this class right now. And if you're an Inner Circle member, you will get a 10% discount, and I think it's just going to be a lot of fun for Sony shooters. I'm so happy that Rob is doing this class. All right, so that's the new one, the Sony Creative Masterclass that starts in May. And then I have some updates. on the Creative Camera Techniques Workshop. That's an online workshop that will be led by me, and that's on June 5th. And we're going to get into all sorts of stuff. So this will be things that you can do with your camera. Okay, so we just did a workshop on mobile photography using iPhone and iPad, and then integrating your favorite camera. And that was more of a overall kind of like, how do I build a workflow, a mobile, nimble workflow? This is going to be, cameras can do all sorts of cool things. And we are going to look into them. Like, for example, did you know that you could do an in-camera Orton effect? You can. You can do an in-camera Orton effect. So stuff like that, stuff that will push your creativity when you're out in the field. You know, go, I want to try this, or I want to learn this. And then have that under your belt so that when you go out taking pictures, you can make your stuff look different than the guys standing on both sides of you. All right. So Creative Camera Techniques. Now, I have an update about this class. This class is not totally sold out. I think we still have 4 seats open for this. 4 seats. But now I'm going to add some creative techniques for the OM system, OM3. And there are some goodies in there. Oh my gosh. I discovered one the other day. I'm not going to tell you right now. And I shared it with somebody, another photographer who has an OM3. And they went gaga over it. They just thought it was fantastic. And it's using, I'll give you a hint, it's using 2 of the features in the OM3, 2 of the unique features in the OM3, using them together. Now, regardless of what camera you shoot with, this class will have something for you. Because, for instance, when we talk about, let's say, multiple exposures, I'll just pick that. That works with basically all mirrorless cameras that, well, support multiple exposures. So we're going to talk about the technique for getting the most out of that, and then you're going to apply those to your particular camera. And we'll have tips for you and for as many of the cameras as we can. A lot of times, most of our cameras fall into brands that I'm familiar with, so I'll be able to help you out. And at the same time, then there will be a few unique features, and I'll be teaching those for people who have those cameras, such as the OM3. But there will be other cool creative techniques that you can do that same week. So it's going to be a little bit of a buffet where you get to pick the ones that interest you and the ones that work with your camera. It's going to be a blast, but I wanted those of you who shoot with OM3, and we have quite a few people in this audience already who have OM3s, that I will have stuff for that camera as well. I'm adding it to the list of creative camera techniques. So that begins on June 5th, and I'm going to do 2 classes a day on that, like I normally do. And you can pick, you know, which session you want to attend. And again, I have the link in the show notes to that class, or you can just go to our workshops page and it's there. Finally, one more workshop update here, and this is for the Sonoma County Autumn Adventure Workshop. That's coming up on November 4th, 2025. We have good signups for that already, but we also have a few open seats. And I just wanted to say that we are going to be returning to the Safari West Wildlife African Preserve. I'm very excited about that. Last year, we had a really good shoot. Had a new tour guide I hadn't worked with before, but I know him well, and he's such a good photographer. We had our own truck, and we went to the places that photographers are interested in, led by a photographer. We're going to do that again this year. We're going to Safari West, and they have so many wonderful African animals. You're wandering out in the wild with them. and sometimes you're really aware of that. It is a nice solid truck. But anyway, no, it's safe. It's safe. Believe me, it's safe. But you are out there with them. You know, this is not a zoo workshop. This is you're out with the wild animals. And then we're also going to go to the world famous Coppola Vineyard. This place is crazy. I mean, first of all, their wines have been winning awards lately. I particularly love their Pinot Noir. Their wine educators are excellent. We're going to do a wine tasting there led by a wine educator where you can learn all that. The vineyards in November are just beautiful there. You know, you feel like you're in another country. In addition to all of that, this is Francis Ford Coppola. This is Sofia Coppola. This is their where they keep all the cool stuff. He has his Oscars lined up there from The Godfather. There are sets from like Marie Antoinette that Sophia directed. There is an original Tucker Carr. Yes, if you've never seen the movie Tucker, you have to watch it with Jeff Bridges. We have at the Coppola Winery number, I forget what number it is. I think it's like number 47 or something like that. Original Tucker Carr there, right there. You can just like stand there and touch it. You're not supposed to touch it, but you could if you wanted to. I mean, this place is just so much fun. There's so much to do. We get a combination of wine education, landscape shooting in vineyards, and just some cool memorabilia. And just you're really like brought into the Coppola household is what it's like. So we're going to do that again as one of the events during the Sonoma County Autumn Adventure Workshop. And that's not all of it. There is a whole bunch more, but I'm just highlighting two of them that I have made decisions on for this upcoming event. Anyway, so those are the three workshops I'm talking about today. In May, Sony Creative Masterclass led by Rob. In June, Creative Camera Techniques online workshop led by me. And then in November, the Sonoma County Autumn Adventure Workshop. And that will be led by me as well. I have links to all of them in the show notes. And you can go to our workshops page and browse all three. Hope to see you there. All of them are going to be terrific events. Okay, let's take a peek into some camera industry news here. A lot's been going on. And last week, I featured the Fujifilm GFX100RF. I said as much as I admired the camera that I won't be purchasing one. I'm holding that line. It's more difficult every day, but I'm holding that line right now. This article I'm going to talk about at the moment, though, does not help me hold that line. This is an article on Petapixel. I have a link to it in the show notes. It is titled, "It's crazy how sharp the Fujifilm GFX100RF lens is." Let me read you what they have to say. And this is written by Jaron Schneider. So here's what he said. "Last week, Chris Nichols and I were in Prague for the launch of the Fujifilm GFX100RF. He spent the majority of our time with a new camera while I filmed his thoughts. I did enjoy several hours with it, snapping pictures on my own. Looking over them now, I can't help but be shocked at how sharp the lens is. There are certainly plenty of complaints about the lens floating around in the comments sections here on Petapixel and on our YouTube review, and everywhere else on the internet for that matter, but those are almost exclusively based on the speed of the 35mm f4 optic. Even on medium format, with the understanding that wide-angle lenses for bigger sensors are rarely that much faster than f4, it's not particularly fast. As soon as the available light starts to dim, the camera ramps up the ISO to compensate for the lens' weak light-gathering capability. Luckily, the sensor can handle it. I had no problem shooting at high ISOs to get my shutter speed up to at least a 30th of a second, my personal baseline for achieving sharp images without the assistance of stabilization. I know my limits, although I will say that the leaf shutter had such a light touch that I was able to get more tack-sharp images at the lower shutter speeds than would be typical for me." I won't go too far into this rabbit hole, but suffice to say, I was able to get the photos that I really liked out of the GFX100 RF by working around its minor limitations and leaning into that sensor. As impressive as the dynamic range is, and it's very impressive, I find myself more caught up on how good that 35mm f4 lens is. It's astoundingly sharp. I won't pretend that the lens is interesting, but it is at least incredibly performant for what I think the camera is designed for, landscape and cityscape photography. While character isn't the strong suit of the 35mm f4, flat corner-to-corner sharpness is. Looking at this camera in my hand and seeing how tiny this lens is makes the performance all the more mind-boggling. The thing is so thin and light, yet it is providing these results into a very large sensor behind it. It is deceptively complex. I guess I should have expected good performance because Fujifilm did the same with the X106 lens, but this one really blows me away because of the mix of compactness, sharpness, and the fact it has such a large image circle to project versus what the lens on the X106 has to handle. This is a marvel of engineering that is, I feel, getting lost in the discussion of F4 and lack of IBIS. And Jaron has plenty of photos here to illustrate what he's talking about, and there's much more to the article as well. So if you're curious about this mighty medium format that is so compact you can carry it around in one hand, the GFX 100 RF, I think you will be interested in this article. Definitely puts a check in the pro column, doesn't it? Speaking of that Fujifilm camera, you can buy a cage for the Fujifilm GFX 100 RF before you can get the camera. This is an article that's on DP Review. I have a link to it in the show notes. There's plenty of excitement over the GFX 100 RF, but those interested will have to wait a little longer as it isn't available for purchase until the end of April. However, accessory maker Small Rig has already announced cage kits for the GFX 100 RF, so you can get your grip or case before the camera even arrives. Small Rig offers two different kits in two colors for the GFX 100 RF. The more minimal option includes an L-shaped mount plate with dual-sided wooden grip. Unfortunately, the grip's back thumb pad portion is a separate piece that attaches with 3M adhesive. The base plate offers Arca Swiss quick-release plate compatibility and easy access to the battery compartment, card slot, and focus controls. It's available with either a black or silver L-shaped plate, though the wood is the same color with both. The kit includes a concave shutter button cap, though it doesn't come with a strap of any sort. While Small Rig calls these cage kits, they aren't full cages. They're only partial cages that offer a 1/4-20 mount points exclusively on the bottom. They don't fully surround the camera. All right, and let's see, they are each priced at $70, and you can get $10 off with a discounted early bird pricing. So you can pre-order those right now. It looks like for $60, they look good. You know, it's so funny because I've been waiting for Small Rig to do a grip for the OM3. You know, like, they're the people I go to for grips. So the OM3 is out. We don't have a grip for it yet. And the GFX 100 RF doesn't ship till the end of this month. And they already have all the stuff for it. I'm just saying, I just want to lodge a protest right now, Small Rig. Come on, man. Get with the program. You got to give us one for the OM3 as well, please. I'm checking every week. I'm just waiting for the announcement. Okay, let's talk about iOS 18.4 because it's now available. I downloaded it for both the iPhone, my 15 Pro Max, and my iPad Mini 7. I'm just going to give you an overview of the features real quick, and then I want to talk about a couple that caught my eye. This is all from 9to5Mac.com, and I have a link to them in show notes. All right, here's what they say. iOS 18.4 is now available for iPhone users everywhere. This update brings new Apple Intelligence features, upgrades to Apple News, new emoji, CarPlay changes, and more. Head below for the rundown on all the new features to 18.4. Okay, I am going to pick and choose some of these. Let's do Apple Intelligence first, because Apple Intelligence has been getting a little bit of heat because, well, quite frankly, it isn't as smart as we thought it should be, right? But they're working on it. They're working on it, right? So Apple Intelligence for all iPhone 16 models, iPhone 15 Pro, and iPhone 15 Pro Max. I have the Pro Max, so I was able to check this out. Here's what you get. Priority notifications appear on the top of your notifications, highlighting important notifications that may require your immediate attention. Okay, that's mildly exciting. And we get Apple Visual Intelligence. This is the only feature of all of these that really did anything for me. And what that is, and I have it fired up right here on my iPhone. Let's go to it. I actually put it on my action button right now. So I just press the action button. You point the camera at something and then you tap the button. The visual intelligence makes note of what you just tapped. And then you can do one of two things. You can ask ChatGPT for more information, or your other option is to search with Google, and then you get regular Google results for your visual intelligence. So you can go one of two ways here. This is actually pretty interesting. I haven't had it out in the world too much yet. I've just been sort of, you know, clicking on things around the studio here and see what it does. But I do think that this is handy, and depending on how well it performs when I'm out and about, it could be very handy. So, okay, so that is one Apple Intelligence thing that I think is pretty cool. What else do we have here? Okay, let's get the photos. This is what I definitely wanted to talk about today. I checked the Photos app on both the iPad and the iPhone after the update to verify these. And here's what 9to5 says. New filters to show or hide items that are not contained in an album or synced from a Mac or PC in the library view of photos. Basically, what they're saying here is that, so if you go to the Photos app after you do 18.4, at the bottom, in for both the iPad and the iPhone, you have the up-down arrows in the lower left corner. So if you tap on that, you have view options shows up. And one of the things that you can do in view options is turn off screenshots. I love this. I love this. You can turn off screenshots in view options. And this is on the iPad, you can do this. On the iPhone now, you can do this. And you can also do it, you may not have known this, but you can do it with photos for Mac OS. If you go up to the options menu and uncheck screenshots, you get screenshots eliminated from your camera roll. Now, they don't go away, they're still there. But like when you're someone like me that's doing screenshots all the time, because for the articles that I write, they just really ugly up my camera roll. And, you know, so when I'm showing people pictures on my iPhone, I'm not showing them screenshots. I'm showing them, you know, pictures of the family and cool places I went, all that. So having those screenshots not in there just makes my camera roll look so much nicer. So that's the first thing. If you tap on those up-down arrows, go to View Options, you can hide the screenshots. Now, if you tap on Filter, which is another one of the pop-ups down there with those up-down arrows, you have Favorites, you can filter edited photos, videos, shared with you, not in an album. So you have some really nice filtering options. And that's what they're meaning here. They're not talking about filters you put over the lens. They're talking about ways that you can filter your library in what you see. So that stuff is pretty good. This is improved on both the iPad and on the iPhone. I love the fact that I can turn off screenshots. That's just absolutely fantastic. And I also love the new filtering options as well. What else do they talk about here? Reorder the items in media types and utilities, collections, and photos. And I did that. So for instance, if I want my RAWs to be at the top of the media types and not selfies, because I shoot a lot more RAWs than I shoot selfies. So now I can go to media types. I can click on, tap on edit, and you know, you can long click and drag all the options in the order that you want. So you can do that in both media types and utilities. Super handy. You get what you use at the top and the stuff that you don't use at the bottom. So some nice stuff there. And then it isn't listed in the article here, but if you haven't tried search lately in photos, they are getting better and better and better. And you can just say black teapot, you know, on stove, and it will search for stuff like that. And there was a time not that long ago where it could only do the simplest of thing, like car, suitcase, you know, that kind of thing. Now it is much more sophisticated and getting better all the time. If you haven't tried searching your library using search with just, you know, ask it to search any old thing that you want, that you're looking for. It has improved a lot. It has improved a lot. So that's a look at where we are right now, thanks to iOS 18.4. Apple Intelligence, let's just say it's a work in progress. Finally here in our industry news area, I want to talk about the MacBook Air M4. Just to recap, I know I featured it when it was announced in this podcast, but now I've actually been working with it for a while. And I have to tell you, I absolutely love this computer. What I did was I had a MacBook Pro M1 Pro, and it was a 2021 model, I believe. I took advantage of Apple's trade-in program. I traded it in, and I got $810 toward the purchase of my new MacBook Air. I was impressed with that $810. So now I could get the specs that I wanted for the MacBook Air. I didn't have to go with a $999 model, which I couldn't do anyway because it doesn't have enough storage. So what I got was the M4 with 10 cores, not the 8 core, 24 gigabytes of RAM, and a 1 terabyte SSD. If I was just to buy that, straight out, it's $1,599, but I got to take $810 off of that, and so that lowered the price considerably. Plus, I get 3% because I have an Apple Card. So, at any rate, so I felt like getting this much computer for less than $1,000 felt really good to me. I remember it wasn't. I mean, I think I spent like over $2,000. For that M1 Pro that I traded in. And I got a pretty good deal on that one too. I think it was like $2,100 or something. So the price was right. And then, okay, how does it perform? Because I am going from a Pro model to an Air model. And I think the first thing really is the screen itself, right? Let's talk about the screen, because that's going to be one of the biggest differences, both from a graphics card perspective and then also just the type of screen that's used. This is a liquid retina display. And I'm looking at it right now because I have my show notes on here. And I have to say that this is plenty of screen for me. The colors are good. It's very sharp. It has enough brightness, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know, because the computer's so light, you know, I'm walking around with it, carrying it in one hand a lot. So I'm in a lot of different lighting conditions. And let me see, where do I have my brightness right now? My brightness right now is about 2/3. And that's about as high as I go unless, you know, I'm outside. When I'm outside, I will push it all the way up so I can see it. But the screen is beautiful. I've used it for photo editing and, you know, I've used it with Capture One Pro, Lightroom, and Nitro, and of course Photos and Luminar. And it's just performed beautifully in all those. The colors are very accurate with it. And it's a very responsive screen. That's because it has an M4 chip on the inside powering this whole thing. In terms of just overall performance, it's snappy. Going from an M1 to an M4, I notice a difference. I probably have noticed it most browsing, just how quickly the pages snap, from one, to the next, when I have a good internet connection, how quickly everything loads. I don't know what you expect your laptop to do, but there was a time when, the Air was not a laptop for us. I mean, photographer types. But I just really feel like if it runs the apps that I want, if the colors are good, if the screen is beautiful, if the performance is snappy, I'm just really not sure how much more I need it to do. I have 24 gigabytes now, so I can have, everything loaded up. And I guess my bottom line is that the decision that I made before was I took the extra ports and the extra spec of the MacBook Pro in a trade-off for it being a much heavier machine, as opposed to going lighter, which is more my bag, right, being the nimble photographer, trading off maybe some of the specs for a much lighter machine, which is the MacBook Air. I feel like that trade-off now has really been marginalized. There's very little trade-off in day-to-day use. If I was a videographer, there might be some difference. But I'm telling you, if you're worried about a MacBook Air M4 getting the job done, get the 10-core version, not the 8-core version. Get 24 gigabytes RAM. I would go ahead and get the 1 terabyte SSD storage. And I would be very surprised if you weren't absolutely thrilled with it. By the way, I did get the midnight color. It is so sexy. And it really is. Anyway, so a big thumbs up on this machine. I like the price. I like the size. I just really like everything about it. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I want to start out with our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community month in and month out. Inner Circle members, by the way, all the workshops that I discussed today, you get a 10% discount on. And that is one of the ways that I say thank you for your ongoing support. Inner Circle members have the active community on Derek Story Online. They have their own space. It is the place to be. And, one of the things that we talked about last week was I said, okay, here are all the new camera announcements, the new Canons, the new Fujifilm GFX. I included the OM3 in there because I still consider it a relatively new camera. And I just said, which cameras caught your eye? The OM3 finished first, no surprise because of our community, but the Fujifilm GFX 100RF far and away was the second most popular camera. It was not that far behind the OM3, and it dusted everything else beneath it. So when I see that, when I see our Inner Circle members showing that kind of interest, then I know that this is something that I need to keep talking about. Two stories this week, right, about the GFX, mainly because I know we have a portion of our audience that's interested in that camera. Inner Circle members are so helpful in so many ways, and I just love saying thank you so much for being a member of this community and supporting it. If you would like to become an Inner Circle member, just go to any page on the Digital Story, click on the Patreon tile. You can nose around a bit and then sign up. And next thing you know, you'll be getting invites to our space and discount codes and all that good stuff. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this podcast. And finally, I'd like to have a tip of the lens cap to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, the people that supply everything that we need for inkjet printing, except the printer itself. You're going to have to get that on your own, I have to tell you. And, printing these days also for me has become more fun, along with practically everything else in photography. I still have my big 13-inch printer. And I love it for the big prints, the bigger prints. But most of the time, I'm using my Canon G620, I believe, with its ink tanks instead of cartridges. It just performs so well. It does everything that I want, and it's super affordable to print. And that's the reason why I'm bringing it up. You know, when printing is more affordable, when you don't have to be worrying about ink cartridges and stuff all the time, it gets more fun and you tend to print a little bit more, which is what I have been doing. If you think that you might want to start printing a little bit more, investigate the new printers out there. Epson has a tank version also for consumers. They're nice stuff. It's a little bit like what I was talking about with the MacBook Air, where we don't have to go pro anymore to get really good stuff that works for us. We can go consumer because the consumer stuff has become so good. Red River Paper can help us regardless of the printer that we choose because they have information. They have project templates, and they have, of course, a wide array of paper to fit any printing need. And they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Go over there, click on it, nose around a bit, get some paper, get yourself a printer you really like, and make some artwork. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more fun stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.